The following audio is from Shiloh Presbyterian Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. More information about Shiloh Presbyterian Church is available at shilohopc.org.
Well, it's a delight for me to be with you again this morning. It's not been so long since I was here before, and some of you may think of it like a bad penny. You throw it away and it comes back again. But I am delighted to be able to be here and to share a message with you from God's Word. And this morning, our scripture comes from the 92nd Psalm, Psalm 92. Let's give heed now to the Word of God as it comes to us this morning. Psalm 92, reading the entire psalm. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord, your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever, for behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox, you have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. Once again, let's pray. We thank you, our Father in heaven, that you give to us your word. We thank you that it allows us to understand something more about you as you also instruct us in how we ought to live. And so we ask this morning that you will help us to understand this word and that we will have a better appreciation of who you are and what you have done, and that we shall be committed then to serve you in accordance with your will. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There are lots of things that at some time or another we would call good. Among such things, you may think about buying something and you get it at a very good price and you tell your friends that you got a really good buy on that. Or perhaps you see someone helping someone else and you describe what they have done as a good deed. And Thanksgiving is a time for good things. Some of us, when we think about Thanksgiving, we think about good meals. We think about good conversation. Some of us think about a good time to rest from the labors that we carry out. Others of us think it's a special and a good time for family and for friends. And all of these things are worthwhile, and they're something that well deserves the adjective good. But I hope that that doesn't exhaust your understanding of what it means to have a good Thanksgiving. In the psalm that I read to you this morning, it talks about it being a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to praise his name. And today, as we look forward to Thanksgiving, it seems to me it's worth our while to just reflect a little bit on why the psalmist makes this confession, if you will, makes this acknowledgement, and not only makes a confession and an acknowledgement, but also makes a declaration that it is good to give thanks to the Lord. And so let's look at this. Now, the psalm begins with the proposition that it is good to thank the Lord. It is good to give praises to his name. The psalmist tells us some things about that. He gives reasons why that's the case. And after he has done that, then he tells us about the wicked, about the evildoers. He calls them with words with very bad connotations. He calls them stupid and fools, as a matter of fact. Quite derogatory terms as he talks about them as they fail fail to recognize these things. The psalmist then goes on once again in verse 8, and he reaches the point where he affirms that the Lord is exalted forever. And then, like stair-stepping again, he talks to us a bit about the wicked, and then he goes on and finally reaches the same point where he started and where he tells us that it's good, namely, to proclaim the Lord's worth. Now, let's in particular look at the first four verses of that psalm this morning and try to examine just why is it good for us to give thanks, why this thanksgiving should be given to the Lord, and then try to figure out some specific ways in which we could give thanks. The psalmist starts off with this proposition, with this, as I said, both a confession and a declaration that it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. The language that he uses there is interesting. It's the very same word that that Moses uses when he describes, tells us how God described all the things that he had made back in the first book of the Bible in Genesis. And God looked at all the things that he had made and he said that it was good. So this language is something that belongs to all of the creation. And I think it's well for us to acknowledge that giving thanks to God is a good thing, and it's good in and of itself. We don't have to search around and try to find all kinds of reasons why it is good, because God is who God is, because God is the one who has done what God has done, and then we ought not to need many more reasons for offering thanks to Him. I think that's part of what the psalmist is talking about. It's a salutary thing. It's something that belongs to all of God's creation, and so it doesn't need a further justification. But as we reflect on it, we can see that there are other reasons for us to give thanks to God. As the psalmist confesses this, as the psalmist declares this to us, he's not only helping us to see something, but he's giving us an example. He's giving us an example that the psalmist, I think, genuinely expects that the people will follow, that the people hear this psalm, that sing this psalm, that they will engage in thanksgiving. It is something that God has ordained that His people ought to do. It's something that belongs to us, but it's something that we ought to do. And when we look at the Old Testament, we find that God has set up ways in which the people of God can give thanks. The chronicler in 1 Chronicles tells us that God set up a certain people, and one of the things that they were supposed to do was to lead the people of God in what? In giving thanks. It was a mandate, if you will, that God gave for the worship of Him. So it's good for us to give thanks to God, not because it's just intrinsically good, but there's a kind of ethical bearing as well on this. And so when we give thanks, we submit to this God who deserves our thanks because of who He is and what He has done. I think also as we reflect on this and see the way in which the psalmist contrasts the people of God with the fool, for example, that it's good for us spiritually as well. It is a nourishing and useful and helpful thing for us to do, that is to give thanks to the Lord. And to remember that God is our creator, that God is the one who sustains us, that He is the one who provides us. And when we do that, it does something for our psyche. It does something for our psyche that we need to cultivate. We live in a society that doesn't like obligation. We don't like to be obligated to anybody. I mean, we fear that. I'm old. I can remember that people didn't always just say thank you. But when you did something for someone, I remember two elderly ladies who lived in the neighborhood where I lived, and we would do something for them, and particularly Mrs. Graham would always say, "Much obliged." That meant she was obligated to do something for us. Now, we think that's quaint and cute. Mrs. Graham thought she was obliged. She was. She thought about that. She thought about that in terms of obligation. We don't like to think that way. We object to that. That compromises our freedom, our independence, our individual kinds of liberty. But we are obligated to others. We are in particular obligated to God. He provides for us. He sustains us. He keeps us. You have breath to breathe, air to breathe this morning, because God gives you both lungs and air. You see? And we need to recognize that. And so it is good for us. It's good for us in terms of our psyche and to come away from the way in which the world moves us away from a sense of obligation to God and to give thanks to God, and in giving thanks to God to recognize this is right. This is the thing that we ought to be doing. And so when the psalmist calls upon us to do this, he lets us know that this is something that is good. Not only is it good for us to recognize our obligation to God, but it also is good for us to fight against another societal kind of thing. I can remember as a young man when, by and large, we thought about Thanksgiving, we thought about it in terms of giving thanks to God. That was what we did. I don't know if you've noticed, nobody does that anymore. What we do when we have Thanksgiving now is we thank one another. The whole God dimension has been wiped out of our society. I mean, if you haven't noticed it, start watching. No one says thanks to God. Thanksgiving is a time to say thank you to your neighbor for the nice things that he's done. Thank you to your family members, all those kind of things. And those aren't bad things. But it's a dramatic change in the society in which we live to have wiped out the notion that we ought to give thanks to God. And so if we are reminded both of our dependent status on God, and if we are reminded that God is the one to whom we ought to be primarily thankful, and because it is God is the one who puts us in families, God is the one who has put us in this country, God is the one who puts us in places where others can do things for us for which we ought to be grateful, then we have developed a little bit spiritually. We have benefited from that. And so as we look at this statement of the psalmist, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And we begin to see some of the reasons why it is worthwhile for us. We could go on and talk about any number of other reasons why it's good for us. It's kind of a psychological good. If you live in an individualistic, selfish society, as all of us do, and then learning that we are not individualistic, little isolated beings, but that we are in a community, if we come to learn that, then that's good for us. And so all of these elements are important to us as we think about why it is good for us to give thanks to the Lord. But the psalmist not only tells us it's good to give thanks, but the psalmist also tells us the one to whom we ought to give thanks. And in our translations, it says to give thanks to the Lord. Now, this Hebrew word is one some translations even use now. It's Yahweh. It's a name that is given to the Lord. The Lord gives to himself. He identifies himself by that. And so the psalmist directs us to God as the one who has this special relationship to us. And so in giving thanks to God, we're giving thanks to the one who's described as Yahweh. Now, as soon as you see that language, it ought to remind you of something. Perhaps it should drive you back into Exodus chapter 3. You may remember the story of Exodus chapter 3, where Moses stood in front of that burning bush, and the bush did not burn up. And as Moses stood in front of that bush and it didn't burn up, a voice comes out of it, and that voice that comes out of it tells him that I am going to deliver the people from bondage of Egypt. And that is what Yahweh means. That's just a translation of that, I am. And so God comes to him and he says, I am the one who is going to deliver your people. I am the deliverer. And the Israelites then begin to think about Yahweh as the God who delivers them. They remember him as the one who brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. They also remember him not only in terms of his delivering character, but also in terms of his special relationship to Israel. This language of Yahweh, this name, this identifier that is given to him, reminds the people that he's their special God. He's the one who belongs, that the Israelites belong to. I mean, all the other people around had all of their gods. They had numerous gods that were around them. But the Israelites were known as those who had Yahweh as their God. They might have described themselves as worshipers of Yahweh, the one true God. And so he had this special relationship with them, a relationship that he didn't have with any other nations. And so the psalmist cries out and says, it's a good thing to give thanks to this God, to give thanks to Yahweh in this special way, a special person that he is as the deliverer, a special person that he is in terms of his relationship. Now, the name probably keeps on developing throughout the history of Israel. Some commentators question when this psalm was written. Some make the suggestion that it was either written or it came to have special focus after the people of Israel came back from captivity in Babylon. And when they came back from Babylon, they used this psalm as a special way of giving thanks. And again, they talk about Yahweh. And again, what do they see? They see him as the deliverer. He's the one who brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. He's also the one who brought them out of the exile in Babylon. That's who Yahweh is. And so the psalmist says it's a good thing. He confesses and acknowledges this. He says it's really a good thing to give thanks to Yahweh, to give thanks to this special covenant God, this God who has a special relationship to us, and in particular, he is a God who delivers us. Now, you don't have to have a PhD in theology to recognize if he's the God who delivered the people from Egypt, he's the God who delivered them from Babylon, he's also the God who delivered who from the bondage? From the bondage of sin. He delivered us. That's the God. That's who Jesus is. Jesus comes and he delivers us from sin. He is the great Redeemer God. And so the psalmist is telling us it's good. It's good for the people of God to give thanks to Yahweh, the one who delivers them. It's good for you to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for you in delivering you from the bondage of sin. When we say it, it makes it so simple, but it's oftentimes those simple things that somehow don't get lodged in our heads and our hearts, and somehow they fall out. And so the psalmist calls upon us to give thanks to Yahweh. The psalmist goes on, and he tells us, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Now, he's adding things as he goes along here. He uses this language of name. And we don't think very much about names. I often joke that children nowadays get their names because that's the name that the parents, that's the page that the parents were on in the name book when the child is born. So if you have started early and worked along, you have a child who's named Zechariah. If you started late, you have a child who's named Alan in the book. You see, we don't really think much about names. They sound nice to us or something like that. But in the ancient world, in the Old Testament in particular, to talk about a name was not just to talk about something that we attach to someone, but it was descriptive. It said something about them. And so the psalmist says, it's good for us to give thanks to the delivering God, Yahweh, but it's also good for us to sing praises to declare how wonderful the name of the Most High is. You see, he is Most High. He is distinguished. And some of you know this song. Trinity Hymnal has a song in it where we talk about, the only one Trinity Hymnal, only a song in Trinity Hymnal that happens to use Hebrew words, El Elyon. That's the Hebrew word that you sing about in that song. And that's who he is. He's the Most High God. And there are certain things about him and about his name that make it important for us to give thanks to him. As he's described as the Most High God, that means that he is the one who is over everything. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, we read, "And when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the people according to the number of the sons of God." That is, that God ordered the entirety of the world. He set up all the nations, he set up all the boundaries, he did all of those things. And the psalmist is saying, it's good to give thanks to that God who delivers, but it's also good for that God who exercises sovereignty over everything, and not just over the people of God, but over all the peoples of the world, setting their borders and all of those things. That's something of what the psalmist is talking about. And so when we give praise to the Most High, we're giving praise to the God who is in charge of all things, who is the one who superintends everything that we do. And so the psalmist sets before us then these ideas that it is a good thing to give thanks to God. The psalmist goes on and he gives us some specifics about our thanksgiving. And it's altogether likely that the psalmist had in mind, as he tells us to give thanks and to give praises, that he has in mind God in his creating power, in the way in which God does things as the great creator. Why do I say that? Well, we look in the psalm and in verses 4 and 5, he says, "For you, O Lord, have made me me, glad by your work, and at the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. That language of the works of God is very commonly referring to the great creation work that God does. There was nothing. It was without form and without void, the scriptures tell us. And God speaks into that, and in his speaking, all things come into being. This is the great and wonderful work of God that's there. In this text, those words that are translated here, your thoughts could just as easily be talked about, translated as your design or your plan. And again, it seems to me it reflects back on the way in which a creation could be something that is in the mind of the psalmist as he calls upon us to give thanks to God. So we are the beneficiaries of God's creation. And again, that's something that we, in particular, in this country, ought to see the bounteous way in which we ought to be grateful for the wonderful things that God has created. You have to be a pretty blind and not to be impressed every fall if you live in this area and you look out and see the trees. I know it's possible to look out and see the trees and the lovely leaves and everything and say, oh my, I have to rake them. But I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't just do that, but you say, that's a thing of beauty. That's wonderful. I mean, they were green. They now are these yellows and these reds. They're amazing. And, you know, you can't help it but walking past a tree every year, and you think, man, that one's better than it's ever been before, you see. And when you do that, the psalmist is saying, and to sing praises to the Most High, to the one who has made those kind of things. We see it in our land. There are those also who claim the psalm not only addresses God's creative power, but it also addresses God's providence, that he oversees all things. And again, as a nation, we ought to recognize the wonder of God's great providence. I mean, we just went through an election. And the contrast between the two candidates was great and dramatic. The contrast between the person who's occupying the office now and the person who expects to occupy the office in a few months. And we're all expecting that's going to take place peacefully. And that's not automatic. That's not automatic at all. There is a God in heaven who has deigned to be kind to us, and he has let us time and time again have one leader go out and another leader go in, and there's no fighting, there's no shooting, there's no killing, there's no war, there's no fight. And Thursday, you ought to be grateful for that. Today, you ought to be grateful for that. That we, of all people, are the beneficiaries of God's providence. As you sit down and you're able to eat in a house that has a roof over it, as you sit down and you're able to eat the bounty that comes from God's earth, and in this God's providence, we've been able to do that. We live in this land of a superabundance. You ought to remember, it's a good thing to sing praises to your name, O Most High, because everything on this table comes because of your good and kind providence to us. And so the psalmist reminds us of these things as he tells us about these. He tells us also, in particular, that we are to give thanks for God's covenant love. It does seem to me that's central to the way in which he's talking about here. And this covenant love, I think, it shows in particular, as I've already mentioned, to the way in which God delivers his people. Moses, in the song that he sang in the Song of Moses that we find in after the children of Israel had crossed over the Red Sea, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 13, helps us to understand it. He said, "You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided us by your strength to your holy abode." You see, Moses understood that Yahweh was the one who delivered him, and that Yahweh was the one who freed him and all the people of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. And the psalm was written to that end. I've already mentioned that some say it was written when the people, it was used in particular when the people came back from Babylon. And so the psalm emphasizes God's redeeming love. And I think that ought to be another one of those specifics of our Thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful for God's faithfulness also, the way in which he cares for us and the way in which he remembers his steadfast love. Often in the scriptures, the steadfast love and God's covenant love are tied together. Now, the psalmist also tells us that our thanksgiving ought to take on different kinds of characteristics. It ought not always to look the same. He says it's good to do this in the morning and in the evening. And that may mean at first that it's good in the sacrifices that were offered. You know, in ancient Israel, there were sacrifices that were offered in the morning and there were sacrifices that were offered in the evening. And it was good to attach to those sacrifices the giving of thanks. And many people think that's the primary emphasis here. I happen to take the position that that's a secondary emphasis. This primary emphasis is a typical Hebrew poet. He says you're supposed to do it in the morning, you're supposed to do it in the evening. That is, all the time. It's supposed to be comprehensive, a typical kind of poetic device called a merism in ancient poetry, that when you use the one and the other, that means everything that's there. You know, when they go to bed, when they wake up, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, something many of us have memorized. And that's what he's talking about. It's all the time. There is never any time when it's inappropriate to give thanks to God and to sing praises to the name of the Most High. That's what he's talking about. He's telling us that when you do this, it ought to engage a kind of festive, joyous kind of thing. He talks about singing. He talks about using all these different kinds of musical elements, that when we give thanks, it's not something that we sort of do, you know, before we can eat our potatoes, we have to say, thank you, Lord. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying this ought to be something that captivates you. You look at your potatoes and say, I have potatoes that are good. God is wonderful. Isn't that amazing? You see, I have potatoes, I enjoy potatoes, I get to eat potatoes, and the reason why I get to do this is because God is good, and I want to sing praises to his name, O Most High. I want to say that with my voice, I want to sing that, I want to play it on my piano if I can. That's what the psalmist is calling for us to do, as he tells us to praise him with the musical instruments from morning to evening. Now, these are all there. And so he encourages this kind of thanksgiving, this kind of gratitude. And as we anticipate coming to Thursday, and as our society and our traditions push us toward Thanksgiving, and my hope is that you begin to think about Thanksgiving in this way. I hope that some of what we're talking about this morning gets to be integrated into your Thanksgiving. And when you sit down to that bounteous table, you sit down with all of your friends and your relatives around you, your family members, all of those close to you, it is good and proper for you to be thankful for the providence of God in providing you with all these things, and to rejoice in the wonder of God's creation. But it does seem to me that in particular, the psalmist wants us to remember who God is as Yahweh. He wants us to remember who God is as the great, redeeming, saving God. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that when you sit down, that the bounty of God's creation, and that the marvel and wonder of God's providence in making all of these things available to you, doesn't so captivate you that you forget who you are. A sinner. Saved by grace. One who can have access to this great and holy and wonderful God who could deliver people out of the bondage of Egypt, could bring them back from captivity in Babylon. This God is your God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. That on your behalf, he came to this world and he died upon the cross. And you can talk about him as your God, as your covenant God, as the God you have a special relationship with. And you have a special relationship with him because of what Jesus did for you. And so, when you sit down to that meal on Thursday, when you stand up in a few minutes and you sing from this psalm, remember who's at the center of all that makes all this possible. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm so grateful for that. I can't express how grateful I am that Yahweh redeems his people, and he has redeemed me by the blood of Jesus. I testify to you today, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name, O Most High. Let's pray together. Now, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which it reminds us of what we ought to do, the goodness of giving thanks to you. And we pray, O Lord God in heaven, that you will keep our focus always on that greatest and most wonderful of your gifts to us, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remind us that we ought to be grateful to him for the very lives that we have. Work in us, O Holy Spirit, that we will never forget that Jesus has redeemed us by his very blood. And we ask that you will do these kindnesses for us. And we ask in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.